On the line to discuss these price increases is Chris Fribbins, head of passenger group at Rail Future. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks very much for taking the time this morning. A 3.4% ticket increase, I'm guessing. Well, what can we expect for this price hike? Are we talking about more comfy seats, complimentary champagne?
Well, the trouble is a lot of people aren't going to see an immediate difference to their journey, but obviously there are hot spots where there's been huge amounts of investment. I mean, just over Christmas period, we've seen the reopening of things like London Bridge, major £1 billion-plus project to upgrade the station, and there are lots of orders for new trains in the pipeline, but not quite there yet.
And who's paying for those new trains and for that infrastructural development?
Well, the rail industry is a complex beast. You do have money
so the government
from lots of sources, but
so
where do the government get it from? They get it from the taxpayers and the rail passengers.
Yeah.
The rail passengers are always are now paying a very large share of the cost of these improvements. Mm. It was a policy adopted a while ago, but it's obviously starting to bite now that RPI continues to increase and CPI, which we prefer, sort of does lag behind. So they are paying the cost when motorists now aren't seeing any increase. You know, the escalator on their petrol costs has been frozen for year on year, but the rail flows continue to increase.
When's the last time you got a 3.4% pay increase?
Unfortunately, 0 and 1% have been common for many, many years.
Yeah.
I've
got some major infrastructural costs that I need to fund. So I'm going to invoice for 3.4% more than I usually do here at Talk Radio, I think, because, you know, I had to buy some new shoes for my kids. That kind of infrastructural development, you know, doesn't come cheap. Will the trains ever be done? Will the rails get finished? Will they ever be like, hey, this year it's all fine, and you know, we don't need to put the price up anymore?
The simple answer is no. There will always be significant improvements to be made. If you start to take a little holiday on the payments on infrastructure, it comes back to bite you very quickly, as we have seen in sort of past decades. If you cut back on the investment, then the network starts to degrade, and you start getting even more delays. People are complaining about delays now, but it'll get even worse if you start taking holidays on pay.
I heard a funny joke from someone on the radio yesterday, sort of making the point that you know, some of these train drivers, you know, they've had quite a massive pay increase. I can't remember what it was, but you know, when they don't even have to steer, compared to a bus driver who has to do steering as well. Do you take the line of Chris Grayling? Is this the unions? Oh, those unions! I'm sorry, I have to be a controversialist.
No, I'll tell you what, we do have one of the safest railways in the world.
Do you mean that in a sort of southeast London way?
No, I mean
it
in a national way.
Okay.
It really is safe across the whole country. There's been no fatalities on the specific railway for some time.
What are the figures for, say, France, then?
I haven't got the figures in front of me, Jake, but
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, but clearly it is very safe. And the point that Mr. Grayling and others failed to put forward is that some of these drivers are driving trains full of thousands of people on their way to work, and the idea of it being safe is really key. I mean, it's not just a case of steering, it's a whole case of understanding how your train operates and understanding the network and where your train's going. And all those people are going to work. The vast majority of travellers are going to work. They've got a lot of choice in that, and they pay their taxes, and their taxes are the things which keep the country going. I mean, are they talking about an alternative? Price them off the railway and put them on a car. And then we've got air quality issues. We've got even more congestion, which doesn't just affect people travelling into the major towns and cities. It affects everybody trying to move around in the towns and cities. You know, the roads are choked up. So getting them on the rail, you know, and building capacity on the railways is going to be key to the country's survival, let alone just the day-to-day getting to work.
I've just done a quick Google. and, Chris, two people died on French railways, husband and wife, and that was in 1842. So in today's money, that would be like 4,000 people. So that just goes to show, doesn't it? Are you a fan of, is it time for renationalisation? It's sort of said to be one of the most popular Labour policies, isn't it?
No, I mean, Ralph Hughes' position is clear on this, isn't it? It's the, what they call the output that's important. It's the journey, it's the train, it's the quality, it's the investment, and it's got to continue. I mean,
are you not prepared to sort of nail your colours to the mast on this one? Surely, having this sort of profit motive can't equate well to passenger safety and quality of service.
Well, let's take the fares example as far as nationalisation is concerned. This 3.4% isn't set by the train operators, the privatised train operators. It's actually set by the government. It's written into their franchise agreement. Every year we'll go through this cycle of press releases. Sure. You know, you'll start when the RPI is announced, then you'll have it again in December when someone decides, yes, that is going to be okay and this is what the fares are going to be like. Then you'll get to Boxing Day and we'll go through it all again because we knew in August what it was likely to be. Mm. You know, this will be the third or fourth stab at exactly the same issue. The fares are going up by 3.4%.
Look, I'm not necessarily taking issue with the companies. If the companies manage to win a contract whereby they get handed scads of taxpayers' money directly and indirectly, who can blame them for doing that? I don't blame them for doing that. I'd do that. My point being that this is just a terrible thing, isn't it?
I'd recommend anybody read a franchise agreement, particularly if they're having problems sleeping. You know, many hundreds and hundreds of pages about how they're going to operate. And the operators are very much constrained. That's the issue I'm making, Jake, about the problem that you say it's not, it needs to be nationalised, but there's so much control over what an operator can do. There's very little freedom. There's a little bit of freedom around the margins.
Yeah, but East Midlands did all right. It was making a tidy profit, and that was going back into paying for hospitals, wasn't it, until we decided to re-privatise it?
It might look like a lot of money, but it is on the margin, their profit. The core money does go back to... But that's only because we're talking about fares today. I think the operating of the railways, it's finding a good, happy medium. There's some attempts this time round with some new operators to get them to work better with Network Rail, because quite often, poor old passengers getting affected by delays caused by some little widget that's broken in the rail or something in the signalling. That's not the train operator. But people don't care. They want to get in their train. Probably, you know, the commuters are a great beast of habit. You know, they stand at the same part of the platform every day. They walk through the same door on their train. They sit on their same seat. And the vast majority of them get that day in, day out. Others do suffer on a daily basis with their train always late.
Yeah. Well, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Chris. Appreciate it. And good luck to you if you're taking a train at some point today. That was Chris Cravens, head of passenger group at Rail Future.